hear what is here. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Calling the council meeting to order. We have an agenda, and I'd like to add 13.2, a notice of motion. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add to or delete from the agenda? If not, I'd appreciate a motion to approve it as amended. Councilor McLeod, Councilor Frelick, all in favor? It's unanimous, and thank you. There are no presentations to count before council today. Are there any petitions to be tabled? No, okay. That brings us to item 5. Are there any comments, whatever, from, I think now we haven't missed one in 4 years, Leon. There we are.
Well, and
certainly you've always been on your feet. Okay, what can we do you for?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Leon Robertson, College Street in Liverpool. First of all, I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you, Mr. Mayor, and the councilors, the present councilors, for their service over the past 4 years of dedication to the region of Queens. And I wish all of you the best in the future, whether you're on the new council or not, in your future endeavors. And I think you've done a good job, and we'll see what happens over the next few years. As far as the agenda is concerned, I noticed looking at the reviewing the financial statements, so one thing seemed to be in order there. The revenue was well up there, of course, with the taxation, most of it being in and so on, and the expenditures appeared to improve already in line. So it's looking good there on the financial end. One thing I would like to mention, Mr. Mayor's under 16.2, as you know, there's a voluminous report there of 100 pages or so with respect to the Social Housing Action Society there, and it relates basically to the seniors, housing complex, housing, and transportation. And there's a suggestion there that perhaps the regions could partner with the Social Care Society, I think it's called, and look at moving ahead here and doing something, getting something started with respect to senior housing and so on. As we know, over the past number of years, we keep losing a number of our seniors to other regions or other areas because we don't have the accommodations and facilities here for them. And perhaps maybe it's a time now that we can go ahead and get started on looking at being able to keep our seniors providing a place for them here in the region of Queens. And this, of course, would be something for, I guess, the new council to take a serious look at. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I took some solace when I saw the thickness of the report. I took some solace from the fact it's going to be referred to the next council, and that they would have to read it from A to Z.
Right. It'll take a while.
Exactly.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Dagley.
Thank you, Mayor Clark. David Dagley, 9 Metapon Lane, Liverpool. While I do not have a question today, I would like to thank you, Mayor Clark, and the present council for your dedication and hard work over the last 4 years. Progress has occurred, and I am very appreciative of your efforts. And thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes?
Melanie with the Plant Fight Group. We just wanted to say thank you to the mayor and the council and your staff for your support over the years with our Plant Fight initiatives. I want to thank you for allowing us to do our presentation at the last council. We see that you have it on your agenda for this week, and we just want to say that if there's anything that we can help support you with, just get in touch with us.
Thank you very much. Anyone else, ma'am?
Kim Williams from Bar Street in Liverpool. My husband and I would like to say a big thank you to council and the mayor for their certificate of appreciation for my husband's 30 years plus in the military. Mm-hmm. We received that as a part of his departure with dignity ceremony. And it's great to have the recognition that one's life's work has meaning, and it means not only a lot to the member, but also to their families. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And we're very sorry for your loss, Kim.
Oh, he's still here. He's still 3 years in the military.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm excited.
Usually sitting there. Also, from just watching the debates and the questions that come out, there's a thing about transportation and I was surprised that nobody really brought up anything about King's Transit, because that is a bus system that runs from Windsor all the way to Digby. It's been there for years. It's a huge system, and that should be what we should be looking at, along with all the other groups on the South Shore to tap into as one like that. Thank you.
Yes,
Mr. Mayor, members of council, Dan Clarin, 112 Brooklyn Shore Road, Brooklyn. For the past 4 years, a great deal of the time I've spent sitting in this chamber, both here in the public gallery and next door with my brothers and sisters in the media. And I want to thank the mayor and council for your service. In 4 years, we haven't agreed on everything. Some of it, I think, as the mayor will attest, we disagree. But I think we've always respected each other's opinion. For those of you who are not returning, may you have fair winds and following seas. And for all of you on this council and the future council, expression I learned in Newfoundland, long may you be in blue. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to address council? If not, then I will move on to item 6, and I'd appreciate a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of October 11. Councillor English moving. Councillor Fisk seconding. All in favour? It's unanimous, and thank you. Is there anything under dangerous and unsightly? I would just draw council's attention to the property on the corner of School and Main, which is now, trees are growing up. It's certainly detracting from that area of the community. It needs to be addressed. It really is, it is bad. See, I'm going to take a few advantages of my being in the chair for the last time, but that, I know we've addressed that occasionally, but it's now very bad again. The other one I think needs to be looked at is the old bowling alley down by Meadow Pond Brook on Pazan Street, and we've had construction there of seniors' apartments, and that other is really an eyesore, and it's been allowed to go on, and I would bring it to the next council's attention. It needs to be addressed, and if it's a question of needing to have a complaint laid before you can take action, I'm quite prepared to lay that complaint. Yes, Councilor McLeod.
Are you referring to the building on the corner of Pazan Street and Old Port Matoon Road, that area there?
Right opposite the end of Old Port Matoon Road.
Yeah. You said Meadow Pond Lane.
It's up against Meadow Pond Brook.
Oh, Meadow Pond Brook.
Yeah, sorry, if I said Lane, it's Brook. Yep. So those two things I think should be, and there's also the old, it was the old Legion, and then it became a Wesleyan Methodist Church up on, is it Common Street, I think, which is really unkempt and is an eyesore and had a fire. Those three things really need to be addressed. So. Okay, moving on. Is there anything under economic development?
To report this morning. There's always things going on, but.
Right, okay. Engineering and works.
Well, you missed corporate services.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you. I had the good fortune to attend the North Queens Fire Banquet a week Saturday past, and there was a large amount of recognition for people that had served on council, in particular this last council, and there was good mention made of Mayor Clark's leadership in getting the hall done, and Peter's very many years of discussing that project. So the just wanted to bring those words of appreciation to the council. It was a wonderful evening, terrific meal. I scored myself an invite for next year by whining at that dinner. So
you can do that.
No, I thought it was election day. not very, not, timing wasn't great. I would have gone otherwise. Anything else under corporate services?
Nothing at the present time, Mayor Clark.
Okay, thank you. Engineering and works. I don't know, Bradley, is that? Yeah, excellent. So, okay, do you want to give us an update, Brad, just quickly on Markland Avenue? I'm sorry to hit you cold with that one, but it just suddenly occurred to me.
Markland, the report to council here a few weeks ago, the underground services are all in, of course. Week before last, middle of the week, the street was paved. Later that week, the curbs went in. This week, they are doing landscape restoration, actually did some last week as well, and driveway regrading to make meets the new grade of the street. So by and large, we're done there.
Great. Good project. Susan, you?
Well, I just, yeah, it looks really good. It's actually very nice from the aesthetics point of view. I still have had some concerns about the people parking along the sides of the road, so I've contacted the Provincial Traffic Authority to ask if we could look at possibly putting no parking sign on one side to eliminate the congestion if people park on both sides of the road, because it is no sidewalks there now, so it's the paved shoulder, so it allows more room for people to park, but it's also preventing people from using it as a walkway as well. So we're looking at that as a potential installation of the parking signs, and possibly looking at if there's any concerns about, because it's two-way now, is that right, Brett?
Correct.
Yes. So if there's any concerns about stopping at the top of the hill, if, you know, in wintertime, if it's slippery, that sort of thing, there may be an opportunity to, they may change it to a no exit at the top as well, is that possible?
That's under consideration,
yep,
with TIR currently.
Yeah, yeah,
I spoke,
right,
to, or communicated with them just as recently as yesterday.
Okay.
So they're looking at that.
Looking at that.
With,
so it's basically just a wait and see of how things happen throughout the winter months and how the traffic flow is on that street. Is that right, Brett?
Yeah.
As far as the safety aspect of it.
I think it's the first time, and I stand to be corrected, that the residents of Markland Avenue have had potable drinking water since 1985. Not quite right, because I know there was an interim when we were flowing water through, but the THM standards were dropped from 150 parts per million to 50 parts per million back in about 85, it may be a tiny bit later than that. And after that, that water stopped being potable, and so they've gone all these years without being able to. So now they have good water, metered, and the bills to go with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes folks forget about the actual development and the reason why we did that street. You know, giving them potable water and the infrastructure that is dependable now, because before you never know what lies beneath, and now it's a fair billing process where they're all metered individually, whereas before they were metered with 1 meter, not really knowing where the water consumption was really coming from. But now everything is on a fair process for every resident on that street, which is a really good thing.
Okay, thank you, Brad. Sorry to drop you in there quickly. Finance.
Finance, yes. We have the, and I think they're for information purposes. We don't have motions associated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have the 5-year capital plan, which of course we're required in order to be eligible for senior funding. And that's here for information purposes, starting with the first page has the budget year 1. And then through budget year 2, 3, 4, 5, and you see the various projects that Brad has in mind and things that he needs to buy to do them. And those are open to change, aren't they, Bradley? Like where you end up doing your sewer work?
Yes, as you said, Councilman Lewis, this is a requirement to put in a 3-year program. We take it to 5 years just to give ourselves a little bit bigger picture. And of course, it's handled year in, year out in the budget process. But it gives us an idea where we're headed so that we can arrange some funding should all things be equal and these projects actually happen, we know that we can fund them.
I had one question, if I may, under the skateboard park. I see the cost of $529,133 and $200,000 came from us, which we know, and then the funds raising, $329,000. Didn't you mention, Brad, not very long ago, that there was $30,000 included, that's from the provincial
that's
government?
That's correct, and that would be added to that. Now, this five-year program, this was what we submitted. We actually had done this from previous year, where we didn't have that $30,000. So
okay.
That $30,000 is added to that for
sure.
Our total budget.
Okay. So we might want to revise that or put a note in the minutes.
Well, the only piece to this that was required council approval before submission to the province was the current year's budget, and the current year's budget is as it shows on here, and that's what we have the approval
okay.
for in the minutes. So we've since added to that, yes.
Yeah. No, I'm not being critical, I just, for accuracy's
yep.
sake,
yep.
I think it's useful to put that. It is a $569,000 budget.
Sure.
Anything else on the finance counseling?
And the second quarter financial statements are there for reading pleasure as well.
Do you have comments? Sorry?
No questions?
Okay. Yeah, the only major changes we did on it was
Mr. Dagley may have questions.
Kind of
I don't know.
Yeah. That's funding that we've gotten for that clean water fund. We moved that around a little bit, but otherwise it looks the same pretty much as we had the year before.
Okay, moving then to the financial statements. Thank you, Brad. Any questions or discussion? Yes, Councilor McLeod.
Page 3, revenue, it said metal sales projected 4,000, but we actually took in $36,967.
Right.
Wow.
We tend to hold on to the metal and pallets, bundled pallets, so does the landfill site until the price moves. It had been low for quite a while. So we had stockpiled what we had taken in at the landfill, and we've been selling it this year because the price had gone up. So I keep the projection low because we really just don't know where it's going to go.
It's a little off of finance, but it is. And someone again said to me the other day about why they should redo their recycles, because they know we put all of our recycles in the ground, because they've been there to see the blue bags in the ground. So I tried to explain to people how the process works, and that when a soiled blue bag comes in, a contaminated blue bag, when that's opened, that does end up in the ground. And this person was insistent that they knew that all of our blue bags were going there, that there's no money in recycle, blah, 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 blah. I've always asked that we do more promotion of our landfill, of what goes on there. Maybe, I think for years I've asked that we do an open house there where we actually invite the public in to see how it operates, and so that they understand how it works and the problems of putting contaminated stuff in blue bags. So I'm glad that that's on our financial, that we've sold that metal, because there's this real misnomer, and I've heard it around this county, that we really don't recycle. That all their hard washed recycling is going in our because they've been there to see it. And when you do go to the landfill, you do see blue bags in the landfill because they're the dirty ones. You know, so I would hope that the next council takes that initiative to do more public awareness about, just exactly how it works out there, that we do have the space to stockpile, et cetera, because they know that recycling's not working.
And that's all.
And it was educated people that were telling me this. You know, it was people that knew better. It was, yes, it was her.
Yeah, it's all bundled and pouted and stocked in tractor trailer loads, and those are sent off
exactly.
to our RFB. And RFP then
pays us, you know, the 5 cents per, and it's divided in, there are multiple line items for the various types of plastic. Too many, more than I thought there were, but yeah, it's, yeah.
Yes, Counselor Johnson.
Okay, so I look at year two, I mean, that's where we're going into, because we're, this is the first one here, but the year one, which where we are.
You're now back on the.
Back on the back.
Eleven-one?
Yes.
Okay.
The, we got two.
I'm giving you, since it's my last time in the chair, a little grace. Normally, we don't go back and forth. We've been very good at that. Okay.
I had my hand up, you didn't see me before.
You're gonna make more noise with your hand than that.
The two projects we have on Main Street with the sewer and water and the School Street with the sewer and water, that's gonna be roughly around $2 million, right, for the two projects. How much of the year does that consume for our Works Department?
All of it.
I mean, in case there was something else come up this year that we decided we wanted to look at, because once this, once we go through these type of things, it ties up, so if we're saying, okay, this is what we're gonna be doing next year, and there's no grace of latitude.
So yeah, so as Jennifer said, you know, generally the current work crew will be busy from spring to fall. However, if council determines other things, most of the capital works program are term or temporary employees. So if you provide us with more money and more projects, we'll hire more people.
We're keeping them gainfully employed.
Yes.
But that can have latitude.
So roughly, this year we had a busy capital works year with the landfill in Markland, so we probably have larger capitals crews than we had last year, so
and
that'll
skate
maintain.
Park.
Yeah, the skate park. That's what I'm saying.
And that'll maintain generally for next year, but that could go down in future years or up. That's variable based on the work and things like that.
And if you look at the work that is planned from the four-way stop, Waterloo School, all the way through down to Reese, it's a huge amount of work.
Yes,
consider that tiny little street, Markland Avenue, how long that took.
Mm.
And also work we've done on Main Street previously. I'm surprised we haven't started it now, but certainly I would recommend to the incoming council that they give pre-budget approval and get that work started just as early as possible, because I question whether you're going to be able to get it all done within the time that's allowed under that. I mean, it is a big amount of work. So rather than thinking about more things you can add to the Works Department, I think you want to look at how they can get that done and get all those government funds and so on. Okay, anything else? I have one comment on the statements, the financial statements, which, as Councilor Inglis has pointed out, are in good shape. But I think that we're ahead of schedule in a couple of areas, in that the deep transfer tax has really come in gangbusters. It's up around, what, $350,000 now? I don't have one without digging. But it's normally about $240, $250 a year. So just for this, to the end of September, it's well over budget. And I've quoted these figures elsewhere, but I don't think we can overemphasize how much activity there's been in the realty sector. There's been a lot of properties moved. And so from the 1st of January to the end of September, 117 sales in Queens, 86 of those in South Queens. So there are more data. It has been huge. So when we talk about attracting people to Queens, the things that we've been doing over the last few years, it's paying off. I mean, people are coming to Queens, and it's not just in Liverpool or South Queens, going door to door everywhere. We ran into people, newcomers to the community, and it's great. So continue the work, and I think that's going to put you in good shape financially at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be very helpful.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So unless the incoming council goes mad in the next 6 months, you're gonna end the year with in good shape. Anything else under finance? Recreation and community facilities. Councilor Frelick.
Nothing to report this.
Okay. There's nothing new about Queen's Place, Councilor Fancy Frelick?
No, nothing about.
That brings me to planning, and 13-1, Councilor McLeod.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality enter into an easement agreement with Marion Crosby for the purpose of recognizing excess over lands on the Region of Queens Municipality, and that any costs incurred in this transaction be borne by Marion Crosby, and that the Region of Queens Municipality shall not be responsible for providing any additional maintenance or improvements on PID number 7009975 to facilitate access to PID number 7009970.
Is there a second of Councilor Frelick? Discussion. Mike, do you want to bring us up to date on it?
Yeah, just as a little background, we received application from the owner of a property that is located behind Beach Meadows Beach. The access to that property is via a traveled surface that extends from a private road to, known as Israel Lane, cuts across the land in behind Beach Meadows Beach to access his property. The property owner is in the process of selling the property and would like something a little more formal as far as legal rights or access to that property. And I guess just as a note, that council a couple of years ago granted a similar request to one of the other abutting property owners within that area for an easement agreement.
Okay, further discussion? Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Or in favor? It's unanimous, thank you. And that brings you then to 13-2, Councilor McLeod.
Please take notice that at the next meeting of Council of the Region of Queens Municipality, I intend to table a motion to rescind the council decision of item 13.1, Residential Uses in Commercial Zones, Liverpool, of June 14th, 2016, respecting the request for rezoning 325-327 Main Street, Liverpool.
Okay, that's just table a motion. That's
yep.
Just notice a motion. We move through. Queen's Place, Amira Center. Thank you, Mike.
There's nothing new at this time.
Nothing. Okay. That brings us to the 15. There are a number of reports. Are there any questions or points to be raised under item 15? I'm taking them all as a block. If not, that brings us to item 16. Do you want to take us through this one?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
There's no motion to, there is a motion, no. Okay, go ahead, because you don't need a motion because of the cost, okay.
Yes.
You have the authority to.
Yes, this was within staff's authority. So this was a real interesting supplement that came together in recent weeks to the skate park project. And it came from a number of sources. In fact, during the original Queens Place Amira Center construction, there was consultation discussions and plans that this space to the east of Queens Place could be used for different things. And you know, we were very fortunate at 4 years ago when a number of youth came forward to initiate the skate park project, which is under construction now. As well, last year we've undertaken some youth engagement around Queens Place as part of the strategic planning work we did on Queens Place, and we heard a desire for more unprogrammed, unstructured recreation opportunities, nature opportunities. So during the design process of the skate park, this concept of creating an adjacent BMX park or bike trail features came up. We needed to keep the designer focused on finishing the work on the skate park so that we could push that schedule as soon as possible. And so upon the contract award of this, took an examination of the opportunity to create some BMX park features, and there's sort of three features of a pump track, a slope that has some moguls on it, and a kind of a warm up or an area, and then some paths that would be cut around the property. We've put in the report that they're not in the exact spaces they'll be, they're conceptual, but so we'll have about almost 1.5 to 2 kilometers of bike trail for mountain biking, BMX biking, and these things, and we can accomplish that very efficiently, because if we did not have the ability to form the soil on the property, we may have to move it or whatever. So it had a very low incremental cost, and staff have started working on it in coordination with the skate park. So we were quite excited that this came together. Didn't have an understanding of the spatial requirements of these things when we were examining it, you know, last month until just recently.
Questions from council? I think it's incredibly exciting. I've had reason recently to talk to one of the major donors to the project, and they are excited. And the reason that they were a major donor to the project was that skateboarding is a low cost sport, low cost recreation for kids who perhaps can't afford to be in hockey and all that demands. To add this to it is huge. The other thing was, when the skateboard park people first talked to us, they were talking about a $750,000 project that would be sort of almost world class and would bring people to Queens because of the caliber of its skateboard park. Well, we heard a meeting or two ago from Brad about the design and how outstanding the design is going to be. And now to put this BMX trail around it, all of which is visible from the 103, and right next to the Best Western, and right next to Queen's Place, I think is stunning. I think it's going to have a lot of use. It's going to bring people in, and I take my hat off to staff for coming up with the concept. I think it's just excellent. Any comments by anybody? Yes, Councillor.
Just a question about looking down the road and parking for Queen's Place. Should we get to the desired place for Queen's Place, and we have, you know, major concerts and major events, and this part is where the BMX trail is going, is the land that's for sale, is that correct? So it could potentially sell?
The top corner, the northeast corner, potentially could be sold.
Right.
We could close off that top loop, but all of the mounds are kind of in the properties that we've covered.
Okay. So looking at long range, is there a possibility we could, what is the long range plan for parking? And events like the Hank Snow tribute, where that parcel of land is used for RVs, does that cause them a problem?
I guess I would be honest that we haven't examined a long-term plan for parking for that, and those lands hadn't been set aside for parking. It's been used temporarily.
Just because
we've got nothing else. However, you know, that's something we could look at deeper, but there is a fair bit of parking within close distance. So that's something I guess we'll note, and I'll ask Steve to note, that we'll take a look at to determine the available parking within a short vicinity of Queen's Place to make sure that's not a barrier.
Excuse me. Certainly insofar as concerts are concerned, which usually happen in the evening, you've got Sylvie's parking lot, which is a good overflow and people have used. Yes.
And we did do the debt approval for that expansion over at Hank Snow so that they can put more RVs over there too. So I don't think they would have to use as much space for the RVs, green space as they were in the past perhaps.
But I believe that a long-range plan would be in order because, you know, everybody's working hard to have maximum capacity at this place, this building. We're talking about bringing people in. So parking is a crucial part, and we've seen events before where it's just a total gridlock and parking, and Selby's, you know, normally is open every evening till 10 o'clock, so I'm not sure they would appreciate that, but certainly one for new council to look at.
Deputy Mayor Mullen.
While I agree that there needs to be some thought into long-term parking plans, I think that when you weigh the two together, the amount of times, and even if it was an event a month, 12 times a month, that you might need parking for 600 or 1,000, maybe, then you find those places in your community or you set up shuttles or you do whatever. This bike park, this is important. This
Absolutely.
Is 356 days of the year usage for people within our community. I don't think there's a venue in the world that has parking for when it's at its capacity. I just, you know, you don't build a venue with parking to capacity. You build it with some and whatever. So, but you're right, there needs to be a strategic. The Sobeys of the world and the Superstores of the world, they do need to be talked to and other venues. But I think this is amazing. And I commend the engineering staff and anyone else and the youth and the community for this idea, because this makes sense to take, you know, dirt that's over there piled up and to do something constructive with it. You know, this hasn't taken months of debate and argument and everything else. This is such a wise use and just shows such great talent from our staff. This is a great thing.
Councilor Fancy.
Yes. When we first went into this, the first year of our mandate of putting in the skate park, I was skeptical because you know, skateboarders are there. You know, there are a number of them around, but how much would it be utilized? Not saying it was a great project, but how much would it be utilized? And I go down to places like Chester, and I've been down there at different times with running events and things, and you know, it's utilized somewhat. This addition is going to be fantastic because skateboarders are to get up on some of those walls and things. It takes a degree of competency, so it takes a while to develop into that. So it takes, but BMX, you can just jump on and go. Anybody can jump on it any day and go. It's going to really open things up. I think that they'll definitely complement each other.
Councilor McLeod.
I think the BMX trail is a value-added opportunity, and it's great for the community, it's great for any age group, of course, and it's also a benefit to our local businesses as well. I mean, we've got Liverpool Adventure Outfitters that sell those types of, you know, bikes and that sort of thing, and any helmets, whatever, but it's always a value-added opportunity, and I think it's really fantastic for the community.
Councilor Fisk, do you want one in Middlefield? Come do it. Talk to the next mayor. He'll get you one in Middlefield.
I believe Middlefield's God's country, so. Anyway, I just want to make comment on the BMX trail. I think it will be an asset to that property, especially coming off the 103 in the attraction that you'll see, the attractive landscaping, and it would add to the Queens of Mara Center, and that piece of land will look cleaned up. I think it's going to be great. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Councilor Inglis.
You can call me Mr. if you like.
Well, you didn't have
sounds
a name
good
tag. I don't know who you were. Those name tags are not for the public, they're for the mayor.
When we built Queen's Place, or when we started to envision it, you know, I think we're coming closer to that vision that we had when I look at, you know, at Steve, you 2 years in? Three? Four? holy mackerel, I must be getting old. But, you know, the now we see these things, like, I go over, you know, 2 hours before hockey game starts, and there's a gang getting together to have a bite to eat. You go over, and there's, you know, people in the lobby, there's people on the track, and now here's another hub of activity. People will be able to come over, and whether or not they have money to spend really doesn't matter. It'll be people, and that's really what it was all about. I think that anybody that can carry a figure on a piece of paper would know that Queen's Place is going to be a cost, but there's to me, it's the value outweighs the cost, and the value just keeps going up and up and up. And, you know, we're doing things, and you know, the staff are doing things to try and engage to have more people take part in things there. And this is just another home run, you know, a freebie almost, you know, that will make somebody else feel that Queen's Place is a place for them.
I might as well. Yeah, you haven't hit anything for 3 months, so you've got it all saved up.
Right. Yeah, it's a good natural fit, you know, with the skateboard park. And it's a kind of a no-brainer, I would say. And it would be good for the kids. Well, not only kids, I guess adults also. And the BMX.
Jack would be over.
Yeah, Jack can be over there.
I can't take it losing more skin.
Okay, Councilor Frelick.
So can you, Richard, can you explain the budget? You've got down here 20,000, but the actual cost is below 10?
Yes, so if this was a standalone project, you know, when we wouldn't have already had the vehicles and equipment mobilized there, that would have cost us, you know, more money. However, we're really just moved. The trucks are there, the soil's there, so we're fortunate to be able to. Really, our incremental cost is the creation of those trails, which will be people cutting out some branches. Building the dirt features really doesn't have an additional cost to the skate park project.
And the park budget that it's coming out of was used normally for what?
Maintenance
across Queens County.
Across the region, yeah.
Perfect. Great.
Any other discussion on this point?
No.
Oh, thank you. Then I'm moving into 16.2, South Shore Housing Action Needs Assessment Report. This is just being tabled and really should be referred to the next council. Is that agreed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Thanks.
16.3 Plant complaint recommendation. Do I have a? Yes, we do. Yes, sir. Okay.
What's that?
Councilor Fancy.
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality direct staff to prepare a report in response to the plant to plate presentation of October 11th, 2016.
Seconded by Councilor Frelick. Just before you get into it, my original thought when I saw this was that it should be tabled and referred to the next council. But I wanted an opportunity to talk about it a bit too. Mm-hmm. I think there's some huge opportunities, mm-hmm. but you can get bogged down in tokenism if you're not careful. I mean, to put a few cabbages, for example, in the planters in front of the post office is, in my opinion, tokenism. There are opportunities the region has, land in several districts, mm-hmm. that could be made available, just as the land behind the Mount Pleasant School has been made available and can be, you know, used for sort of allotment-type gardening. And I think that could be huge. The reference was made to Pine Grove in the presentations by Melanie and Mary Lou the last council meeting. There's been work done, I understand, at the University of Maine at Orono in developing low bush cranberries, in other words, our wild cranberry, as a ground cover that gives fall, a ground cover that gives fall color. I'm going to talk, I've got a meeting after this with Mayor-elect Dagley to talk about a number of projects. I'm going to talk about my continued involvement in Pine Grove as one of them. But I think there's an opportunity there in that area that Bowater put all that mixture of fiber and stuff from the settling ponds. I think we could do work with blueberries up in that area, and whether we use the ones for fall color, which also fruit, or whether we use high bush ones, is another one. But the other thing you've got to be careful of as you go into planting trees, many of the fruit-bearing trees need to be sprayed, you know, for whatever bugs. When you go into the prunus family, the cherries, the plums, and so on, you've got black knot to worry about, the peaches, you've got whatever that thing is, which is not dissimilar from black knot. But you have to spray against apple maggots and all these kinds of things. So I think you need to be careful how you do it. I think there is a huge opportunity to go into that allotment type gardening. That's the other way. Okay, so you've got a motion. Anybody want to speak on the motion? Yes, Councillor Frelick.
Plants to Plates have been presenting to council for many times over the years, and we still don't have so much as the token cabbage. So I'm thrilled that this is before us, and I think I have to disagree with that. I think there's many opportunities to show our town and to have people, tourists come through and see that we are stepping ahead of most communities and having edible gardens within our town. So I welcome that, and I think that I don't think there's any limit on what we can do throughout the whole region. So I'm pleased that they're back and they've been persistent and haven't taken no for an answer. So congrats to them.
Deputy Mayor.
And I'm going to disagree with Councillor Crowley and say that I support Mayor Clark in his comment about tokenism. There are many urban cities that, yes, they plant produce in their gardens within their towns because they do not have any green areas in which to plant them. We're not an urban city. We're the region of Queens. When you look around Liverpool, we have all sorts of areas all around the outsides of our town where vegetables and things should be planted. We have a very small urban core. If there are some vegetables that can be put there for their beauty, then fine. But look at, but we're the region of Queens. We have places everywhere to plant food. And Plant to Plate is about planting food for people. Think about it. It's the region of Queens. Do we really need beans growing in our downtown planter when we have all kinds of other places in Liverpool more suitable, closer to water sources to plant food? It's about planting food. We can put some shrubs and things in there, but you know, what's wrong with attractive flowers? I mean, I'm a gardener. It's a lot of work to tend gardens. We're the region of Queens. We should encourage people, communities, to do community gardens in their communities. I mean, I really don't see, and you know, maybe I'll eat my words someday, and maybe I'll eat some things out of the town garden. And I don't see how people from around the world will come here because we've taken our little main street and made it into a vegetable garden.
I don't know.
It's my last
rave. I'm not sure.
I know, being part of the Plants to Plate and going to and seeing the excitement that's developed over the last couple of years. They've started off as a small group, developed into something that's bigger, and trying to bring our community back to understand what we have and what we could have. And to that, even if it was just for that, I'd say hats off to them. But we want to go further than that. We want to be able to create areas, you know, I think both are needed. I think we need to be visible around the community that is happening, but also too we need to have the mayor had said, large area where we can be able to plant things that that we're not just doing it, again, the token too. We want to be able to have a big area that we're saying we're doing something, not just saying, oh, well, here we gave them a couple high bush blueberries that we've got rid of them, that'll keep them for another year. Now we want to be able to do, we want to make this into something. We want our community to show forth with this, and I think this is our recommendation coming back to them and saying, let's write a report, let's see what we can do, let's see how we can work with them.
Councilman McLeod.
In addition to the Region of Queens utilizing their plots for plant to plate or planting edible gardens, I think we should also encourage the general public to do the same in their areas, their homes. I mean, everybody, a lot of people plant flowers and never even thought about planting rhubarb or, you know, those types of products or food in their regular flower garden area. So I think we should encourage the general public also to become involved in plant to plate operations.
Just one last word from me, and that is that I'm not against the project. I think it's great. It doesn't make any difference whether I am, because I won't be able to voice my disapproval. But Queens has got, particularly South Queens, has got a reputation amongst gardening people. And there was a committee, and maybe there still is a committee. I was in its formation, in its formative years, when I was first elected, talking about gardening tourism. And Queens, with Pine Grove, Queens Place of Mira Center, Ivan Higgins next door, is a gardening destination. It's the anchor for Route 8. We've got the historic gardens in Annapolis Royal. There is a huge demand for the aesthetic type gardening, as well as the plants to plate. So there's room for both, but I just leave that, and you people who have been elected can fight it out when staff gives you a report. Okay, you need a vote on the motion. All in favor? It's unanimous, thank you. That concludes the agenda. I do want to say one thing. During the last 4 years, we've worked hard together, and I think that people recognize the results and the achievements. And I don't intend to belabor them and go back over them. But I was thinking, as I have quite a lot recently, about the thing that I regret most. And that is the way we have been treated by this current government. My practice was, when I was mayor previously and now this time, to be as apolitical as I could be and as nonpartisan as I can be, and to work closely with whatever government has been in power. I've done that since this government has been elected, and it has not yielded any fruits whatsoever. It's almost as though this government has gone out of its way to punish Queens. And when I say that, I think of things like the loss of the Registry of Deeds, the loss of court services, the loss of positions in the employment service, the loss of a job in the Department of Fisheries, the total failure of this government to do anything about the Perkins House in time for it to celebrate its 250th anniversary. We've worked with and tried to work hard with the government on Carter's Beach. And as of at least 4 or 5 days ago, they haven't even done the work that they promised to do, and we were going to pay half of, which is to widen the end of the Carter's Beach Road. We've met with the Premier. It took months to get a meeting with the Premier. We laid out some items that needed to be addressed and we needed help with. I'm not aware that we've made any progress on any of them. And I'm hugely disappointed in reporting that. And I know it's not right to go into a political rant. And just in case people are mumbling and saying, well, he's a Tory, and yes, I was years ago, I carry no cards. I voted NDP in the last election. So I have no axe to grind except for the betterment of Queens. And if I were to give one message to this government, because I think they hope to win this seat, they better do something for the people of Queens if they expect to get the people of Queens to support them in the next election. They have done so little, and all they have done is been destructive. The one thing I left off my list of complaints was the $100,000 they took out of the Caledonia Fire Department project. I had lobbied and got success in lobbying Michel Sasson and the deputy minister for $200,000 support to the point for the Caledonia project from the provincial government. To the point that Mark Fiori, who was Minister of Municipal Affairs at the time, announced at the sod turning, announced the $200,000.
Yes, he did.
And when it came to the crunch, they lost $100,000 and they very nearly lost another $50,000. But some lobbying got that back. But there is a long, the list of things that this government has done to Queens, the negative things, far, far exceeds any of the pluses. So if there's a message that the media picks out of this meeting, I hope it's that one. It's, we have done as a council, I think we have done wondrous work. And I'm not going to belabor that. I really appreciate all of the support from council, from staff, but I do, if I had, as I say, one regret, it's working with this particular government. So now I'm going to adjourn the meeting because that's the last time I'm going to be able to wrap this mallet. I hope I don't crack the handle as I do it. Yes?
Mayor Clark, I can't agree with you anymore. Yep. You said it all.
Does that mean it's because I'm not going to be here? You can't agree with me?
I'm just trying to tell you, I can't agree with you anymore.
Okay.
That means just what you spoke about.
I know what it means, right. Okay. Meeting's adjourned. There you are.